This is Whitney, and you're listening to the JCast on Jabberlog.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good afternoon. This is Ricardo with Jabberlog on the JCast, and this is going to be episode number 36 of Within the Trenches. Yeah, it's been a little while since I've done an episode. You know, there's been some time between the National Indian Conference and now, of course. But you know, every time I thought about it, I thought I recorded 11 episodes there, and that was the equivalent of about 11 weeks worth of episodes. So I hope all of you have enjoyed all of those episodes from that conference. It was an awesome experience. There were some things that came with that experience, though, that made it even better, or maybe even crazy. I kind of talked about it a little bit in one of the earlier episodes. I think it might have been episode number 24 when I spoke with Erica and Megan from Hanover County, or New Hanover County, excuse me. And but I'll tell a little bit more about it here in detail. Now, what had happened was I had worked the night before I left. So this would have been a Friday night, and I worked night shift. So it was 4:30 in the afternoon to 4:30 in the morning. Okay, so then I get home about 5 in the morning, and I don't crash out till about 5:30 or so. And I ended up waking up at 9:30, so I was pretty tired. But it was okay because I spent the rest of the time with my family, which was good, is what I wanted to do. I wanted to wake up a little bit earlier so I could spend more time with my family before I left for that week. And so I did. We had an excellent day. And then I left around 5 in the afternoon or so. Well, I ended up driving straight through to North Carolina over to Charlotte. And I get to my hotel about 5:30 in the morning because it's about a 12-hour or so drive. And actually, as I'm getting to the hotel, I was really, really getting tired, and I was only about 20 minutes away, so I did not want to stop somewhere to sleep. I wanted to keep going, and besides, I had, you know, a can of some energy drink left over, so I was trying to down that and try to stay awake, but it wasn't working. And I had music going, and I'm trying to sing out loud to keep myself awake, and I started jumping up and down in the seat as I was driving to stay awake, and I made it. Thank the Lord, I made it. So I get to the hotel, and I walk in, and I see the person at the front desk with papers laying out all over the place, and she's on the phone. And immediately I thought, this is going to be bad. Something's up. So I go up front, and she asks, you know, how I'm doing and everything. I asked her the same, and she said she was having a pretty bad morning. So I asked if she had my reservation, if she could look that up, and she said that she was currently on the phone with tech support because her computer system was completely down. It was messed up, so she couldn't pull it up, but she had been able to, before it went down completely, all those pieces of paper had the reservations. So she looks up on the reservations there for that day. My name is nowhere to be found. And I was extremely tired. But what she had told me was, well, you know, even if I could have found that, you can't check in until 3 p.m. anyway. So, yeah, I'm exhausted. I'm trying to figure out what to do because that same day, I needed to make it to the convention center to set up by noon. So I had to get some sleep somewhere. Even if it was sleeping in the parking lot, I was going to get some sleep somewhere. Well, I ended up going right next door, there's a Waffle House. And I don't know if any of you have ever been to a Waffle House before, and this was only my second time going to a Waffle House. The first time was awesome. You know, it's one of those greasy spoon restaurants where the food is just great. And probably because it's got, you know, packed with everything that's not good for you. That's always the stuff that's good. So that's what I had. I had me a nice 10-ounce ribeye steak. It was beautiful, steak and eggs. And from there, the whole road where this area was full of hotels. So I started going from hotel to hotel. And They either did not have a room or they would not let me check in until 3. Well, luckily, I made it to a hotel where there was somewhat of a disgruntled employee. Now, I say this because this employee was, she was supposed to be off her shift 2 hours before I got there, and she was not happy. Apparently, the guy who was supposed to relieve her ended up going to a hotel down the road, and they put him to work there instead. I don't know if this is like a some sort of network or something where they switch from hotel to hotel every other day or so, but he thought he had to be at a different hotel, so he goes there. They go ahead and put him to work, and he was supposed to be relieving this person that I was with. So she ended up calling another boss, and they were going to have someone go in, but it was going to be almost another hour before they got there. So she was not happy. So she looks at me and she says, "Can I help you?" And I said, I need a room. And she says, "Okay." And I said, "I can check in right now because I really need to go to sleep." And she says, "You know, I don't even care. Yeah, let's do this." I thought, oh, thank you for being unhappy right now because I'm very happy right now. So I got to check in and go into the room, and I power napped for about 2 hours. And as soon as I got up, I showered up, got some clothes on, and hauled butt over to the convention center because it was almost noon and I had to start setting up. So I ended up taking off, and it was kind of it was an odd area, really. I mean, once you crossed, got onto the highway, it was like Emerald City. But before, it was like Kansas. Like it was just completely different. You know, it was, as they say, you cross the railroad tracks, you know, and you're on the wrong side or whichever, and it's just completely different from the other side you were. That's how this area was. So it was kind of funny for me. But, you know, the experience from that, it was great. You know, I met a lot of great people there. There was one incident that that I have to laugh about. Every time I went back to the hotel, there was this one gas station that seemed to be almost like the meeting place for everybody. You know, there's that one spot that you go to in a city and everybody is there. Everybody goes, says hello, and pick up whatever they got to pick up. And, you know, that's how it goes. Well, that's the way this gas station was. And every time I went there, I was meeting different people, and, you know, I was always going in there for snacks and such to take to the hotel room so that I could start editing what I had to edit. Well, the first night that I was there, I was completely exhausted. And I stopped at the gas station to get some gas and to get, you know, a few things to munch on while I was editing. And as I get off of the car, I go walking by this guy and he says, "Hey." And I didn't turn around right away because I don't know who this person is. And so I keep walking and he says, "Hey. Hey," and he's yelling at me. So I turn around and I said, "Yeah, can I help you?" And he gets this biggest smile on his face and he goes, "Make sure you try the chicken." I said, "What?" And he says, "Yeah, try the chicken. It's the best in town." I said, "All right, man." And I just kind of pointed my finger to him like, "All right." I was like, "Okay, I will go ahead and do that." Well, I didn't do that. But 2 days later, I didn't stop anywhere to eat afterwards like I had, you know, previously. And I stopped at the gas station. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to take his advice. I'm going to try the chicken. So I did. I got some chicken and a few other things. And let me tell you, that chicken was amazing. I should have listened to him in the first place. That I can't even explain what it was that made it that good, but it was awesome. The skin was great. The flavor, it was really good. And it wasn't really greasy. You know how you get some fried chicken and it's just complete grease and the skin is just soggy. And yeah, no, this was done perfect. It was great. So I was hoping that while I was there during that time that I was going to see this guy again and I could yell at him and say, "Hey, I tried the chicken. It was amazing. Thank you." Or throw a shoe at him or something to get his attention as he was yelling at me. But he wasn't around there. I never saw him again. But, sir, if you're out there somewhere and you end up listening to this, that chicken was great. Thank you. But going back to what I was saying about the great people that I met, there was so many episodes that I recorded and just people that I spoke to. There was one gentleman there. It was him and I guess maybe like a coworker of his. I can't even explain what. He had just met this guy there and they were going to be filming. And the guy I'm talking about, his name is Tony. I'm not going to say his last name. You know, you can, after I give out this information, you can seek him out actually. But his name is Tony. And while I was there on Sunday, they had this welcome reception and award ceremony and such, which was really cool. I got to meet a lot of people there. I was handing out cards for the t-shirt giveaway that I was doing. And I ended up going back to the booth where I was at with Mark Fletcher from Avaya for the APN Avaya Podcast Network. And, you know, we were both there in the podcast zone doing our shows. He has an E901 Talk podcast. And then I, you know, be there, of course, for Within the Trenches. Well, during the whole day, I had seen Tony and his associate filming different B-roll. And I didn't know what they were doing. I figured they were just part of the, you know, the media that Nina had there. Well, as they're leaving, I see him look down at one of my t-shirts. And he looks at his associate and he says, "Did you see this?" And he goes, "No, what does it say?" He says, "True stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them." And he just had like the biggest smile on his face. Now, at first, I'll be honest, at first I thought he was, you know, kind of mocking it maybe. And I thought, well, nah, maybe not. Why would he be doing that? So I said to him, "Hey, if you fill out one of those cards, you might have a chance to win one of those t-shirts right there if you dig it." And he says, "Is this yours?" I said, "Yeah." And he says, what is this here?" And I said, "Well, Within the Trenches is a podcast." I said, "It's based off the experience of being a 911 dispatcher. I'm a 911 operator out of Michigan." And he's just kind of looking at me and he says, he wanted to know more about it. So I was telling him more. And he says, "We're here filming a documentary and we were looking for somebody that might be willing to talk about their 911 experience." And he says, "I would love to interview you." And I was blown away and I said, "Yes, of course." And he said, "All right, I'm going to find you within, you know, tomorrow or, you know, the following day. And I want to do something where I'm recording you doing your show and then, you know, doing some B-roll of it and then, you know, the interview." So I said, "Fine." I thought that was amazing. Now, his documentary, he got it funded through Kickstarter, which was amazing. While we were talking about it, you know, he asked me how I started this and I told him, you know, the whole story. And I said, "This really, you know, came up through Kickstarter." And he says, "Wow." He says, "I did the exact same thing. My documentary is funded through Kickstarter." And he had said, it's rather serendipitous that we meet here in this circumstance and all. And I thought the same thing. I thought, man, this is pretty crazy. So his documentary, it's called Hotline, a documentary. Now, I don't want to mess up the whole synopsis of it because he told me, but he said it, he described it in a way that, you know, had so much passion and everything because this is his project. So I don't want to screw it up by saying what my take on it is. I mean, it's pretty much the same, but I don't know. I feel like I won't give it justice. So what you can do to see more on Tony's project, you just go to hotlinedoc.com, and that's hotlinedoc.com, and it's called Hotline, a Documentary. The concept behind it is very interesting because he says that, you know, there's this strange connection between callers and where they're calling. So for instance, if somebody was calling for a psychic or for, you know, anything that a hotline would have, there's this strange connection between this person confiding in this stranger, telling them, you know, all of this stuff about themselves, you know, trusting a voice is what it is. And he said 911 is kind of the same thing. It's almost like a hotline in the sense that people are calling during these intense situations and telling us their problems. They're telling us all of the stuff that's going through and they're trusting us. They're trusting a voice. And I never really thought about it like that. And so it was really interesting to me to hear him talk about this. And so the last I spoke to him, he was in LA and they were doing some editing. So I am really looking forward to this coming out. You know, it's going to be interesting. So make sure to check it out. And you know, you can donate to Tony's project, you know, or just share it on different social medias, trying to get the word out there. So, definitely do that. Remember, it's hotlinedoc.com, and they're on Facebook and Twitter and everything. So that was just one of the, you know, the awesome things that happened to me there at the conference. You know, besides talking to all these awesome people during these episodes, I have to give them credit too, because it was good for me to be there and to do these, this show, but to have them talk about everything they were doing and everything they've experienced, it was amazing for me to be able to do this. So I thank all of you who were part of all those episodes. It was great. Another awesome thing that happened to me was during the time I was there between episodes, I got a phone call from a producer for a show, which I will not give the name. And if you happen to know what I'm talking about, please do not put this out anywhere, because I don't want to get in trouble. But I was given the opportunity to take part in this show for an episode, and it was amazing. I was flown out just this past Friday to help record this episode, and I've never been treated the way, you know, because it's people that I don't know, you know, and being treated like this by strangers was awesome. It was just, it was really cool. And now I know them, you know, I can't call them strangers, but you know what I mean. But, you know, I had a couple of cars drive me around to do what I was doing. And it was weird. I was telling my coworkers that I've never been in this type of situation, so I didn't know how to act at first. You know, I was trying to be normal, but this wasn't a normal situation. And, the first driver, and I told him that I was going to give his company a shout out because he did such an excellent job. He was very, he made everything very comfortable. You know, it wasn't like being in a car with someone, of course, that you know nothing about. They're a complete stranger and they don't talk to you and you're just sitting in silence. I mean, we spoke from my house to Lansing, and then from Grand Rapids back to my house when he went and got me. And it was just a really good experience. So, and this is his company, and it's runaboutsgr.com. So, and that's runaboutsgr.com. Make sure to check them out. Like the card says, there's no tax meters, no hidden fees, upfront pricing. If you guys ever need a car to drive you around GR or the surrounding area, you know, if you're going to a club or something and you should not be driving, give them a call. They have great service and they do excellent work. So this episode that I helped record, it'll be probably announced within the next few months. You know, the network hasn't brought it out yet, but yeah, it's something that's coming. So be prepared for that. I will be the first one to tell you that it is coming out, because they told me that they would tell me as soon as this season as well as episode was going to air. So a lot of awesome, awesome things coming. To wrap up this portion of the National NINA Conference, I want to thank once again everybody who is involved, all the people who got the show there. I mean, it came out of nowhere, really. Yeah, Ron was one of the big people who got us there. Ron Bono, out of Kent County. He was a huge, huge advocate, getting the show to this national conference. All of the heads of NINA, Brian, Chris, and Debbie, you guys really got us there. And thank you. Thank you very, very much, Mark Fletcher. There's so many different people that got us there. Bob Currier, Deanne, and Jim Marshall, you guys were huge, huge, huge in helping the show get to this conference. And I thank you very much. You'll never know how much this means to me from starting this project as just, you know, just an idea, just something that I started writing and then it building up to this, and it's just, it's been awesome. So, and the sponsors, especially the sponsors. So I want to thank Nina. Thank you very much for allowing me to bring the show there. The Cool Kids of 911, Threadzy, Intrado, PSEP Concepts and Solutions, Avaya, APN, the Avaya Podcast Network, and In Digital. Thank you very, very much for your support and for sponsoring us during that week. It was amazing. It was a great, great experience. Now, for this second portion of the of this episode, I've been posting here and there a few things, you know, a few things saying stuff like changes are everywhere. The next episode is going to talk about a transition and a departure. And there are some of you who know what I'm going to say already, and a lot of you who don't. And I want to say right off the bat that the show is not going anywhere. Okay. The departure and transition has nothing to do with the show. The show is going to continue on. This is a huge thing, and I see how important this is and how many people have told me how important this is to do this. The departure and transition, though, it does have to do with me. This past Monday, July 1st, I went in to dispatch and sat down with my assistant director, and I handed to her a piece of paper that was the hardest decision that I've had to make so far in my life. I've been dispatching with Allegan County for just over 8 years, and I love 911. You know, I would never bite the hand that feeds me, so to speak. Total, I've been dispatching for 13 years. It's what I love to do. You know, 911 has been with me and has helped me through a lot of things. There's a lot of significant things that have happened in my life during the time that I've been dispatching. And an opportunity came up that I kind of had been negotiating with this company, and that piece of paper included that I gave to my assistant director included my resignation. So July 22nd will be my last day in dispatch, and I'm still going to be in 911 though. So this is just going to be my transition from being behind the mic to more of a teaching role. And I'm going to be kind of a technician / trainer. So I'm going to get the chance to go to different dispatch places and train on different 911 programs. And there's, you know, next generation 911 stuff that's coming up. And that's what I'm going to get to do. I'm going to get to take my experience behind the mic and teach all of the dispatchers, those in the trenches, on how to make their job easier, how to make it better. And I'm very honored that I get to do this. But let me tell you, like I said, it was very hard to make this decision. I mean, I'd been sitting on it for about a week and having to go to work. And, you know, there'd be moments where I was sitting there during what little downtime I have and just kind of looking around the room and thinking, you know, there's a very big possibility that I'm not going to see this room anymore because, you know, this job, if it does happen to go through, you know, I won't be here no more. So I was looking around and just, you know, just over eight years of intense calls that I've taken, calls from family members, from friends, from, of course, total strangers. But, you know, in that moment of crisis, when you're that voice of authority, you're also in the back of your mind going through that call with those people. So, you know, sometimes they don't completely feel like strangers because they're telling you everything that's going on at that moment. And I have gone through many, many calls where, you know, on the drive home, it's hit me while I'm driving home. So, you know, and all my coworkers, all the people that I work with, my team, you know, the people that I've worked with before in the past, it's just, it's going to be hard to leave dispatch. I know that I'm headed to bigger things, and I'm confident and I know that I'm going to do a great job, and it's going to be very awesome for me to do this, you know, this awesome opportunity. But like I said, it's just hard leaving a place that I've been at for so long and have done so well at, and, you know, something that I love to do. But now I just get to contribute in a different way, a different aspect of 911, and to continue doing the show. excuse me. But yeah, that's the huge announcement. That's the announcement that I've been talking about this whole time, that I am going to be leaving dispatch. I'm going to be leaving the mic and being in more of a teaching role. So I'm very excited for what's going on. excuse me, this company is out of state. However, I get to work remotely from where my current area is, where I live. So that is even better. You know, that was one of the big things, because all of you know that working in dispatch, we don't always get the kind of schedule we want. You know, we do what we do because we love it, but we also end up missing a lot of what goes on with our family. And I know that in the beginning, you know, there was a lot of work that had to be done, because we ended up losing a lot of people. I mean, it got to the point where we were getting forced overtime. You know, we would take forced overtime so that we could get to the bottom of the list, but as soon as you came in for that forced overtime, you were getting forced again for another day. And I believe that year, because the way it works with the county is, you know, we accrue PTO time. And if you don't, you have to make sure you use more than half of it, I believe it is, so that you can, you know, you can keep it, or to make it go to the next year, or, you know, they take a portion from it. Well, this was the only year that we were able to move all of our time to the following year and build it up, because of the fact that nobody was approved time off, because we barely had anybody to work. I mean, I remember a coworker who had put in her notice because she was going to go off and do another job, but she ended up coming back for about a month or so until we could get people in there and trained, because we didn't have anybody going or enough to work. I mean, so yeah, it was crazy, you know. And I missed a lot of times with my son Logan and my wife Rebecca, and so now, you know, now I think it's going to be even better. I've got this opportunity that I can do all of this work and work my butt off and be awesome at it, but also have a little more time to spend with my family, which is very, very important to me. But what I have planned, at least what I'm hoping I can do, is that for these last episodes, these last times, or the last couple of weeks that I'm in dispatch, I mean, I am going to be doing some farewell episodes, and these farewell episodes are going to be with my coworkers. And of course, with Whitney, we're going to be doing these farewell episodes, because we're not going to really be able to do this all the time. Like I said, the show is going to continue. It's going to keep going, and I'm going to try to keep it weekly as much as possible, but there might be a few times where it'll be an every other week thing, only because I'm going to be, you know, doing a completely different job, and I have to get settled in it first before I can, you know, keep going. But the show is going to be that much better. It's going to keep going. There's a lot of ideas that I have, you know, adding video, keeping it audio, of course, an audio podcast, but doing video as well, I think will make it that much better. But, yeah, there's going to be farewell episodes, and, you know, from there, my new job will start the day after my last day in dispatch. So no break, really. But it'll be good. It's going to be great. And like I said, I thank everybody who has helped me get this far with this show. Everyone keeps saying it's very important to get the word out there, and I am going to continue doing that. I want to continue telling your stories. So if you want to be on Within the Trenches, send me an email. This is going to be the wrap up of the show. You can send an email to thejcast@thejabberlog.com. You can follow us on Twitter at WTT Podcast. You can like us on Facebook to get all of the updated information, which is facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. And everything is posted 24/7 up on thejabberlog.com. Thank you very much, everyone. Once again, the show is going to go on and it's going to be awesome. Thank you.
You just listened to Within the Trenches on the JCast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to thejcast@thejabberlog.com.